think that apostasy you were talking about, I think the issue today is authority. And I think it's like the time of the judges. There's no King James Bible in America, so every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And people don't want a final authority. Anything I've ever been involved with, there was an authority. When I went in the Army, my DIs were the authority. And you learn that real quick. And, of course, I thought I was pretty tough, and I was a smart aleck, too. And so I thought I'd undertake and whip one of them. And what you find out is they'll take you around back. They'll fight with you, but there'll be about five of them. So you figure out the best thing to do is just behave yourself. And if they say get down, just get down. And so I've learned over 41 years of reading this Bible every day, the best thing you can do is just, God said it, just do it. Amen. And it don't matter if you understand it or if you don't. Now tonight, if you're here and you've never been saved, I hope this will be the day of salvation for you. I hope you'll come and take Jesus Christ. I'm certain He'll take you. When the pastor and myself talked about this meeting, we were hoping to be kind of evangelistic. So what you're going to get is the old story. It's milk. But it's good for you to hear it one more time this side of eternity, because I have no idea what tomorrow might bring. But if you're saved, the best is yet to come. If you will, turn tonight, Psalm 40. That didn't have anything to do with the message, really. I just thought I'd throw that in. But while you're turning there, let me pray. Father, thank you again for this time. I pray now the Holy Spirit will be our guide, our instructor. I ask the Holy Spirit to move up and down these aisles and convince of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Lord, I ask you to deal with every heart. Should there be an unsafe person in our midst, Lord, that they'd understand they're amongst friends, they're in a place where they're welcome, and that if they'll respond to the gospel call, that there'll be someone here to take a Bible and lead them to Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that we have this privilege and opportunity. Thank you for all these folks that have come out. Lord, what a blessing tonight on a Monday night and a rainy night. They're willing to make the trek to come here to hear the gospel. So I pray, Lord, you'll do something. I have nothing of my own that would be of any benefit to anybody. But certain tonight, I'm certainly aware that you can do something. And so we're dependent upon you. We ask you to meet with us. Glorify Jesus Christ and lift Him up. We ask it all in His name. Amen. Let's read the first four verses in Psalm 40. And he says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'm preaching tonight on the subject of being rescued from the pit. And certainly, all of us were at one time in the pit of sin. And you may have not been no wicked individual. There are a lot of folks that are raised in a Christian home and they get saved at an early age. And hey, thank God, that's the best way to do it. I would highly recommend that to everybody. And then you got some old scoundrels like me that we came up through the sewer and didn't get saved till later on in life after we'd lived a lot of years like the devil and just about ruined ourselves and before we came to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm thankful tonight the Lord had enough concern for me that He was willing to look me up and convict me that I needed to be right with Him. But the best illustration I can give you take one of these young fellows that get saved at an early age, they're sinners, just like the rest of us. But when they get saved, there's a great big God that comes in, and there's just a little bitty devil that goes out. But somebody like me that didn't get saved till a lot later and live like the devil, when that great big God came in, there was a great big devil went out. And I'll tell you, it was a momentous change. And I've never gotten over it. 41 years ago, I bowed my knee to Jesus Christ. And man, like I said before, I've been happy as a dead pig in the sun ever since. And I just enjoy being saved. I do. No matter what comes my way, the best is yet to come. And I heard Billy Kelly preach that one time. He's dead and gone, been gone for years. Down at the old Mountain View Church, old Billy Kelly showed up and preached, the best is yet to come. Why, you pardon me. That ought to make a Baptist shout tonight. Jesus Christ is still in the saving, life-changing business. I'm glad He is. Well, notice, first of all, our rescue was a public manifestation of the grace of God. There's nobody here that deserved His unmerited favor, His grace to save you. You were a sinner. You sinned against a holy God that's so righteous, He would send people to hell for eating fruit off of a tree. Isn't that something? You think about that. He is so righteous and so holy, all you have to do is commit one sin against Him, and all sin is against Him, and He can put you in hell for that one sin. And so His rescuing you and I from that pit of sin was just a public manifestation of the grace of God. Hey, what we did living like the devil was a public manifestation. Man, anybody that knew me back before I was saved, they knew I was mean as the devil and wicked as hell, as Bobby Utley says, and they were right. And most people would avoid me. They didn't want anything to do with me. I don't blame them. And I didn't want anything to do with them. I mean, really, I had no use for preachers or the church or anything else. Before God saved me, in my heart, I had no interest in those things. My desire was to drink and dope and go after the things of the world and enjoy everything the world had to offer. Like the lost son, I thought I can just go live it up, live for today, enjoy all the blessings of the world, and someday, maybe I'll consider God. And a lot of people have that attitude this day. They think, boy, we'll live it up. They don't realize that you have to reap what you've sown. Man, it was fun. The pleasure of sin for a season, I enjoyed it. Until I had to start reaping what I'd sown. And boy, I tell you, when that day came in, it wasn't funny. I look back and I realize, boy, I tell you, Mama knew a lot more than I thought she did. I mean, people that tried to tell me about Jesus Christ, I should have listened. They had a lot more intelligence than I would have ever thought. And I tell you, a lot of young people, like I said last night, they get around 15 or 16, they're going to straighten out the world, can't straighten out their own bedroom. They know so much more than Mom and Dad. I mean, really, they've got no life experience, but they know everything. I'll tell you tonight, Mom and Dad done been down the road, you're trucking, and they can tell you what's down there. They've done had to reap what they've sown, and I promise you, they can give you some real good advice if you'll just take it. And I'll tell you, this preacher will give you some if you'll take it tonight, and I hope you will. But our rescue was simply a public manifestation of the grace of God. I have to lift Him up and glorify Him. There was nothing good in me. There was no worthiness in me. If I'd have got what I deserved since God saved me, I'd have to go to hell. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, His mercy is abundant. I'm glad tonight He's long-suffering. I'm glad He's willing to put up with some of us old scoundrels till we come to our senses. Like that prodigal son, he came to himself. He said, I'm going back home. I've sinned against heaven. Hey, all sin is against God. David sinned with Bathsheba, and he said, I've sinned against God. He said, all my sin is against You. It's against You, Lord, that I've sinned. All sin is against God tonight. You've broken His law, whether you believe it or not. Sin is the transgression of the law. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you're a sinner and you're in need of being rescued from the pit. Well, notice first of all, He took the first step. The Bible says, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, this Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm glad He hears the cry of sinners tonight. One of the charges that was always leveled against Him by the religious crowd was, this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. Well, pardon me, I'm glad He did. That bunch of wicked reprobates, they were just as responsible for the Romans of having Him nailed up. They delivered Him to the Romans to have Him crucified. And that charge is leveled by Simon Peter in the book of Acts. The nation of Israel, they said, we have no king but Caesar. His blood be on us and on our children. And it has been for a long time. Well, one day things will change, and I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to try to stick to the message tonight. I tried to last night, but I just couldn't do it. And so He took the first step. And that step led to Calvary. You look on down in this chapter, and you'll see something that's quoted in Hebrews chapter 10 as a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done," he prayed in Gethsemane. I'm glad he did. "I've preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I've not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." Hey, when he was on trial, he said, "For this cause came I into the world, to bear witness unto the truth." You and I have the same charge. We are responsible to deliver the truth to a lost and dying world. Jesus said, "As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." And when he went back, you and I have become the light of the world. The sun is a type of Jesus Christ. That moon is a type of the church, the bride of Christ. The only light we have comes from Him. We reflect His light that the world might see the path they're walking on and be converted and come to Jesus Christ. Amen. He took the first step and it led him to Calvary. He went there willingly. I imagine when they were driving the nails in those thieves' hands there in Luke chapter 23, I imagine those two thieves, they had to have several soldiers hold those fellows down while they drove those nails in. And I imagine when the Lord Jesus came up there, He came as a lamb to the slaughter. And I'm absolutely convinced that He just laid down and willingly allowed them to drive them. He was our substitute, taking our place, bearing our sin in His body on the tree. He became sin in our place, so you and I don't have to taste the wrath of God poured out on sin. We can escape that horrible, awful place called hell. Why, you pardon me. If I was able, I'd take a running fit right now. I'd run out that door and come back in that one. I'd have me a buffalo running fit. Man, I'm glad to be saved tonight. The Lord touched my heart. Hey, I get rabbit in my feet once in a while. Ain't nothing wrong. I don't know why the Pentecostals got to have all the fun. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with the Baptists getting excited every now and then, letting out a war hoot and shouting once in a while. You pardon me. Hey, some of you, do you some good to raise your hand down here at church instead of raising it at home against your husband. Amen. He took the first step. You think about it. Paul said this thing was not done in a corner. He hung naked, bleeding and dying before the world. But it was a thing of shame. That crown of thorns that was jammed on his head, you think about it. It was for all the wrong thoughts we've had. It was for all the wrong things we've listened to and all the wrong things we've looked at. Hey, every stripe laid on his body was for a commandment that you and I broke. It wasn't for anything he did wrong. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. He was the sinless Lamb of God who was able to bear the sin of many, which turned out to be any. Amen. Johnny Calvin, he's wrong. That bird, he was a theologian, he thought. And he really, he didn't have much theology. I mean, a man had burned somebody at the stake for disagreeing with him. Ain't nobody you'd want to emulate, I'll tell you. But Jesus Christ, this Bible says, He tasted death for every man. Those nails in His hands were for all the wrong places we've put our hands. Those nails in His feet were for all the wrong places our feet took us. Amen. And that spear in His side was for all the wrong affections that our hearts have had. Rather than being toward Him, it was toward something of the world. Amen. We've become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the fact. That's the state the church is in today. We love God, but we love pleasures just a little bit more. You got folks that would rather watch football as on Super Bowl, Stupid Bowl night as they would to come to church. Amen. Boy, that's the dying truth. They'll have pizza parties and, oh well, I guess I've gone quit preaching, gone to meddling, but it'd be all right. The Lord likes it anyhow. Jesus Christ, the only way you'll come to Him is by the way of the cross. You'll not get to the Father any other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father but by me. If you get to heaven tonight, you'll go through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Boy, that's the best news I ever heard in my life. You pardon me. I'll get to preaching here in a minute. But I heard that news 41 years ago. I'd heard everything else the world had. Hey, I listened to all this junky music. Some of y'all, you wouldn't know anything about it. But man, I love Lynyrd Skynyrd. I thought that was the finest stuff there was. Call me the breeze, boy. Woo, look out. I could get going with that one. I could crank my Trans Am up, and I could run about 125 down the interstate with the breeze blowing. And I thought I was something. I had a Super Sport Nova that I drove about halfway through a big oak tree. And I'll tell you, you'd have thought that would have woke somebody up. But it didn't. I thought, man, I can carry on. I can get away with this stuff. I'll live like the devil. Nobody will tell me what to do. God can't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. I did. And boy, I wound up. I sat in jail cells. And I had more trouble than I'd be interested in talking about. I didn't have no sense. I thought I did. I didn't. I was a young man headed for, you know, glory. I thought. Well, He inclined unto us. Isn't that something? God Almighty condescended down to man. He didn't take on Him the nature of angels. The Bible says He took on Him the seed of Abraham. God Almighty manifest in the flesh. He jumped right down in this muck and cursed world right in here with us and became like us. You think about it. He never traveled more than 200 miles from where He was born. I mean, He walked about everywhere He went and rode on a boat once in a while. But you think about it. Before He began preaching, He worked as a carpenter for 18 years. He knew what it was like to be poor. He knew what it was like to work long hours. He knew what it was like to be, people call you, you know, funny names like being born of fornication. He knew what it was like for people to reject you. But when He began to preach, hey, He began to preach the truth. He didn't cut corners. When He stood and looked that religious bunch in the face, He said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And brother, when He looked those sinners in the face, He said, if no man condemn thee, no man, Lord, neither do I condemn thee. God send no more, amen. Hey, He came into this world to save sinners. I'm glad tonight He did. I got a house full of sinners here looking at me, amen. I can prove it. I can prove it. Is there anybody here that hadn't stole something in your lifetime, even if it was accidental? That fulfills the scripture, you've made my house a den of thieves, amen. Jesus Christ inclined unto us. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2. It's a great passage. You ought to mark it. If you don't have it marked, you ought to memorize it. If I could remember anymore, I would. Getting old, things change. But it says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation. You imagine that. He condescended to us. Here's the crown jewel of heaven. I mean, everybody, everything there worshipped Him. And He stepped down from that glory and came in through the back door of this world, born in a manger, so you and I can go through the front door of heaven, amen. Amen. Well, you pardon me. Nobody ever loved us like Jesus. Amen. And this Bible says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to equal of God, but He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you confess it? You ought to. If you're saved tonight, don't be ashamed of Him. He ought to be ashamed of us oftentimes, but we ought not ever be ashamed to speak up for Him. Brother, he's the greatest thing ever happened. He's the one that's chiefest among 10,000. He's the one that's altogether lovely. You pardon me. There's no name sweeter than Jesus. Man, you take somebody on the deathbed, there's no name sweeter than Jesus. You take somebody on the altar, there's no name sweeter than Jesus. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, there's no name sweeter than Jesus. Somebody wrote a song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Well, you pardon me. When God saved me, I wanted to hear that song sung every time I went to church. Sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Well, I tell you, He did something for me that I couldn't find anywhere else in the world. Amen. Well, you pardon me. That ought to make a Presbyterian shout. And I ain't ever heard that. He inclined to us. And He heard our cry. He heard our cry. The psalmist said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Boy, I tell you, it works. I tried it out. I ain't talking secondhand information. I tried it out. And I'll tell you, it works. What he's got, it's a whole lot better than Reverend Ike. Reverend Ike used to say, you just can't lose with the stuff I use. Well, I'll tell you, you can't lose with what Jesus used. Amen. Charles Spurgeon was taking a trip by boat, and he asked the boatman when he got on. He said, sir, he said, how do you expect to get to heaven? And the man replied, saying prayers, going to church, and doing the best I can. And Spurgeon said, well, if that's the case, Christ need not have come, because you're doing it all yourself. And if you can earn it, why did Jesus die? I mean, really, if there's something you can do to earn salvation and get to heaven, what was the point of Him going through all He went through? There is none. Jesus Christ paid it all, and you're either trusting Him or you're trusting something else. And brother, He's the only way to heaven. There is but one way. Well, I'm glad the Scripture says this is a faithful saying. And it's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If He doesn't save the chief, He won't have no problem with you. I promise you that. Amen. I want to say, secondly, not only was this a public manifestation of the grace of God, we as sinners were stuck in a pit of sin. Now you understand, I'm speaking in a figurative sense, but He said He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Out of miry clay. And He said, He set my feet upon a rock and He established my goings. We were stuck in a pit of sin. Boy, I was. I was in a pit. I'm telling you, I was sunk in the mire. You talk about a mess. And that pit was my own digging. Brother, every man will stand good for his own sin. The children were not put to death for the father's sin back in the Old Testament. Every man had to stand good for his own sin. And I'm telling you, the Bible declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's the second death you'll find in Revelation chapter 20. You will stand good for yourself. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We will have to account for our actions. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Scripture says, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Boy, isn't that the truth? I dug me a pit of sin, and I was sunk down in the mire. And man, I've tried everything. I mean, I've tried everything. I was addicted. I mean, that's all there is to it. You got people today. I mean, we have that meeting on Thursday night for people that are addicted. They're hooked on drugs, alcohol, who knows what. I mean, you got people that are addicted to something. I mean, it controls their life. Ain't no bigger than that. You know, and just can't break it. I mean, it's tough. It's addicted. And the Scripture says this, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Boy, I was hooked. I was the servant of sin. That was my life. It wasn't just a lifestyle. It was my life. But I was wicked, and I'm not proud of it. And I certainly wouldn't advise anybody else to try it. But I was in a pit of my own digging. And the Bible says, even if you're saved, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Wasn't that something? The wages of sin is death. That's written to a saved man, believe it or not. We use it on the lost all the time. But that's quoted to a saved man. You can't live after the flesh as a saved individual and get away with it forever. No, sir. The Lord will deal with you. He'll whip you. He's a good daddy. I'm glad he is. Amen. When he whips me, I never liked a whipping. I tell you what I learned. I'll get to this just in a minute. But I learned when my mama, we had a bush that grew out in the front yard. And my mama had five boys and five girls, and we all pretty mean. I mean, we're pretty rowdy. And there was a bush out there that didn't grow anything but switches. That's all ever grew on. Now, there was no flowers, nothing but switches. And so when you get in trouble, I thought it was sadistic, really. She'd say, go get you a switch. And so you go out and get a switch, and you better get a good one, because if she had to get one, she'd get a limb. And she'd get that switch you brought in there, and she'd hold you out here and just make you dance, boy. Woo. But you know what I learned? And I do this to the Lord, too. I learned that if I'd run in and grab her like this and hold on, that it destroyed the leverage, and she couldn't whip me. She'd whip herself oftentimes trying to whip me. But it wasn't near, and I'd hypocrite. I'd scream and yell like I was dying. And boy, I'll tell you, I do the Lord the same way. When he gets to whipping me, I'll scream and yell. He knows I'm hypocriting, but I'm glad he's concerned enough to whip me when I need it. Amen. I'm glad he didn't just save me and turn me out and say, there you are, have at it. I'm glad he's interested in me. He condescended. Well, he brought all of us that are saved out of this horrible pit of miry clay. I was in a horrible pit. I was sunk in mire, hubcap deep to a Ferris wheel. I mean, it was bad. It was wicked. I was down in this awful, horrible pit, and I couldn't get out. I couldn't do anything. It was Ephesians 2:12, man. I was without God. I was without Christ. I was without hope. I was lost. And I couldn't do anything to help myself. And I thought, good night, how am I going to get out of here? And I've tried everything the world said. Nothing's worked. Well, while I was sunk down in this mire, in this pit, here come this gentleman walking by. I could look up and see him. Nice three-piece suit. And this gentleman came by, and I said, hey, buddy. I said, can you help me get out of this pit? And he threw me down a bottle of Jack Daniels. And this was the CEO of Jack Daniels Brewery. And he said, hey, drink that stuff, man. That's what you need. And I thought, man, I don't need that. That's part of what got me down here. That ain't going to help me get out of this pit. I need to get out of this pit. And he passed on by. He had other clients. Well, about that time, a fellow came by. He was from the Rockies, and he had a silver bullet. And I said, buddy, can you help me get out of here? And he threw me a silver bullet. And he said, that'll help you. I said, that won't help me. That's part of what got me in here. And then he threw down a bag of medical marijuana. He said, that'll ease your pain. I said, man, I need to get out of this pit. That's what I need. I'm sick of sin. I'm sick of living like the devil. I'm sick of myself. I'm sick of this mire. I'm sick of this mess. He passed on by. Well, it wasn't long. Here come another fella. He was leading a camel, had a diaper on his head. And I thought, what in the world? I said, buddy, can you help me? He said, you need to go on a jihad. I said, what in the world is that? He said, oh, you know. I said, no. He said, Allah Akbar, and he passed on by. Well, it wasn't long. Here come another guy. He was dressed like Mama and calling himself Papa. Had a half a grapefruit on his head. I said, buddy, can you help me get out of here? And he said, oh, bless you, my son. He said, I'll light candles for you. And he passed on by. And I'm in this pit, and I can't get out. And I'm finally, another guy came by. He had a cowboy hat on. I said, hey, buddy, can you get me out of here? And he said, I wrote a book back in 1830. A salamander, a magical salamander, dictated it to me. I told some folks it was golden plates, but and you know, he said people believed it, so he threw that book down and said, that might help you. I said, I need to get out of this pit. And after all the founders of the world's religions had passed by and had no answers for how to get out of the muck and the mire of the pit of sin, finally here come one grotesque figure that staggered along the rim of that pit, and I looked up, and you couldn't recognize him as a man. He was striped and lacerations all over his body and nail prints in his hands and his feet. He didn't look human in his face. And there he was with a hole in his side. And I looked up and I thought, man, I hate to even ask this guy. He don't look like he can help himself. And I said, well, I've tried everything else. I'll try this. And I said, sir, can you get me out of this pit? And he said, do you really want out? And I said, I'm sick of sin. I'm sick of dope. I'm sick of booze. I'm sick of the world. I want out. And you know what? He jumped out in there with me. Woo! And he wrapped me up. And by his own power, we come up out of that pit. Woo! And when we hit on the ground, his appearance changed. His head and his hair was white like wool as snow. His eyes as a flame of fire. His feet like brass as it burned in a furnace. His voice like the sound of many waters of God Almighty. Woo-hoo! I'm telling you, I got plugged in. You pardon me. Boy, I'll tell you, if that don't trip your switch, you need to go get a new switch. Amen. And I found out Jesus Christ is in the life-changing business. When he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Amen. All things are become new. Woo! You pardon me. I'll tell you, we might ought just have a rapture drill and run around and shout a while. Delivered from hell. You pardon me. I tell you, that's the best news I ever heard. I've heard a lot before I heard that. George Whitfield, you've heard of him, I know. He's been mentioned many times here. George Whitfield had a tremendous voice. He preached outdoors and could be heard, some say, a mile away. Well, George Whitfield was preaching in the London Tabernacle. And while he was preaching, he felt led of the Holy Spirit to say, God will take the devil's castaways when the devil's all through with them. When the devil's all through with them, Jesus will pick you up. Amen. And outside in the street, there were two prostitutes that heard him. And they got down on their knees on the cobblestones, and one said to the other, Gertie, he's talking to you and me. So they knelt and prayed and cried and got saved. Well, that night, George was invited to eat with London's nobility. And at the dinner table, Lord Huntington, Lady Chesterfield, Lady Chesterfield turned to him and said, George, you're spreading it on thick today when you said Jesus will take the devil's castaways. She said, that's opening the door to heaven just a little too wide, don't you think? And George said, is it? And he handed her a note written on a brown paper bag, written with a pencil, and it said, Dear Brother Whitfield, Gertie and me heard you say Jesus will take the devil's castaways when he's all through with them. He's through with us, so we took Jesus and he took us. And well, I tell you, you've got sitting in this place right here, you got dope heads and drunkards and thieves. You got people in here that was wicked as hell, and God took them and picked them up when the devil got done with them. And I'm telling you, they've mounted to something for Jesus Christ. We've got clean living, godly young men and women that were raised in a Christian home and got saved young, and they ain't wasting their life. Man, they're preaching in the street. They're passing out gospel tracts. They're witnessing for Jesus Christ. They're making something of theirself. Well, you pardon me, I'll tell you, that makes me want to shout hallelujah. Delivered from the pit. Several years ago, I was preaching in a place, and they probably wasn't 15 people in the joint. It's a big, big building, and dimly lit, and you couldn't really see. But way back there in the back, there was two young ladies. I couldn't see them, really. But when I gave the invitation, they ran to the altar. And man, when they came up there, they were dressed like prostitutes. They were. I mean, Scott County. And they were painted up like possum hunters in Pokebury season. I mean, they had all the goo on them. And they dove into that altar, and I got on one side with one of them with a Bible, and another fella got on the other side with a Bible, and we led them to Jesus Christ. And they told us the story. Their mother had been selling them out the back door as prostitutes. One of them was 15, one of them was 16. And they heard the old, old story. And the devil was through with them. And they came to Jesus and He took them. And boy, I'll tell you, we had a shouting fit. There was a lady there with some relation to them, and she shouted all over the building. Scared me out about 3 years' growth. I wasn't used to that stuff. And boy, I'll tell you, I thought, boy, what a thing. Well, about a month later, their mama came and got saved. And the last time I saw them, that mama and those two girls were up singing Amazing Grace. How sweet. Whew, you talk about having a time. I jumped over some seats and took a running fit. And I ain't ashamed of it. Well, man, I've seen daddies out here at the football field gain more yardage on the outside of the fence than their boys gaining on the inside. And then they come to church and sit like a wooden Indian and say, bless me if you can, you know. Why, you old rascal, you. Jesus established us forever. He said, I've sealed you to the day of redemption. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Boy, isn't that something? I'm seated together in Christ in heavenly places. You say, what does that mean? That means if you're saved tonight, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, He got you out of that pit of sin and you're just good in heaven with the door shut. And that's all it's to it. And you can rest in that. You can have the peace of God. I don't care what's going on in your life. You can look on out there and say, man, whatever it is, it's going to get better. The best is yet to come. I'm fixing to land on a place where the street is gold. I'm going to be kicking up gold dust. I'm going to be taking me a running fit. If I didn't have a brand new spanking body, what she was singing about tonight, Beulah Land, man, if I didn't have a new body, I'd just explode. I could. And it's all real. He's given us a new song. Only the new creatures can sing the new song. Are you a new creature tonight? Have you trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation? We're not asking you to join a church or get baptized in water or any of that. We're asking you to come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior. And be a new creature. I'm telling you, it works. He's given us a reason to praise Him. Notice what it says. He's put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you redeemed? Do you say so? Do people know whose side you're on at work, at school? Wherever you're at, they need to. Well, man, you look out here in the parking lot, you see scripture signs all over vehicles, and you get out in the street and there's banners and signs, and we ought not ever be ashamed of Him. No reason to be. He'd give us a reason to praise Him. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He's given the lost friends a reason to fear. You young fellows that are saved, you're a testimony against them, whether they'll admit it or not. This Bible says, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Do you know, by you getting saved and living right and doing right and serving God, it condemns them, whether they'll admit it or not. I used to witness to a guy. I never did get anywhere, I didn't think. And finally, I ran into this fellow one day, and it had been like 20 years since I got saved. And that boy told me, he said, you know what? I've watched you for 20 years. He knew me before I was saved. And he said, I've said all along, he'll go back. It ain't real. This new birth stuff don't work. He'll go back to the dope. He'll go back to the bottle. He'll go back to all that ungodliness. And he said, I've watched you for 20 years and you've stayed clean. You're living for God. You're out here preaching in the street and doing all this wild stuff. He said, I finally concluded that it's real. And he loaded his family up and went to church and got saved. Well, you pardon me, man. If you're saved tonight, you are a testimony to those around you. And they look at you and they can't deny it. I mean, something done gone wrong around here, man. When you got saved, God put His Spirit in you and you become a spiritual schizo. And every time you want to do something wrong, boy, there's something in there that says, you don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Well, I'm glad He's in there, amen. That comforter, boy, I'm telling you, He'll squeeze your heart sometimes till the juice runs out your eyes, and He'll let you know when you're trying to go the wrong direction. Amen. Don't sear your conscience by refusing to take heed to it. Pharaoh did. Pharaoh seared his conscience till when he went unto the Red Sea, you would have thought anybody would have been aware of the fact that that water's about to come back and take you out. But he had so seared his conscience that he just thought he could do whatever he wanted, and God couldn't do anything about it. And it cost him and his army their lives, drown in the Red Sea. And you will fare no better. Many will come to Christ because of it. That's what he said. They shall fear and they shall trust in the Lord. Don't you want to be a soul winner? Don't you want to see people saved? Man, don't you want to see your friends come to Christ and know the joy of being saved? Man, I know a lot of you folks witness, and you don't make no big deal about it. Probably don't get no credit for it. I know that. Man, we got all kinds of folks in here, school teachers that witness. I know they do. I know they do all they can get away with. And I'm thankful for them. I mean, this school system in this county, there's a lot of saved kids. There's a lot of saved teachers. There's a lot of saved folks that's connected to it. Hey, I'm glad. That holds down the wicked ungodliness. You better believe it. But don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And according to this Bible, the individual that'll trust Him is blessed. You look at verse 4. And I'm about done. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Well, I could say a lot about it, but God hates a proud look. There was a fellow died not long ago, and he always billed himself as the greatest. Now, I never had any respect for that guy. In fact, after the news media made a god out of him, they buried him in the same size hole as Bozo the Clown. Every man in his best state's altogether vanity. But he made a big name for himself by getting up and saying, I am the greatest, I am the greatest. And he was the greatest, all right. He was the greatest traitor to this nation, worse than Benedict Arnold. At a time of war, he refused the draft, and they stripped him of his title and put him in the pen. And so he converted to be, you know, some kind of Muslim. Changed his name, and then when he got out, they allowed him to go back to boxing. I would have never reinstated him. But that bird, in my opinion, was proud, and the Lord tells us we're not to respect people like that. He had no use for Jesus Christ, so I've got no use for him. And the Bible says we're not to respect liars. You got somebody telling you evolved up from some lower life form, tell them to stick their head in a Winnie roaster. Amen. That's a liar is what that is. I've said it before. I had some of my relatives hung by their neck. Some of your relatives hung them. Amen. But I'll tell you this, none of them hung by their tail. Amen. I knew my mom and dad, neither one of them were monkeys. Now, if you think you came from a monkey, okay. When you die, you'll go where the good monkeys go. And when I die, I'll go where the safe sinners go. Amen. But we're not respect liars. These fellows that want to correct the Bible, they want to write, 238 counting versions, and perversions. And this NIV is supposed to be so popular. Well, that thing leaves out more than 64,000 words found in a King James Bible. You ain't got half a Bible if you got one of them. And the people that perpetrate that stuff are liars. And you and I are not to respect them. We're to take God at His word and act on it and let Him take care of the rest. Amen. I hope you will tonight. If you've never been saved, I'm fixing to give an invitation. What I'd like for you to do, come down this aisle. We're not asking you to join a church. We're not going to embarrass you. What we're going to do, somebody will meet you here and they'll take a Bible and they'll lead you to Jesus Christ. We'll do it the right way. We'll base it on the Word of God and nothing else. Not feeling, not conjecture, none of that. No, sir. People, I remember one time I got a valuable lesson. Me and Brother Donald was in a church, and this 15-year-old girl came to the altar wanting to get saved. And I'm serious. They were women all gathered around praying, and one was beating her on the back, hollering, hold on, and one was beating her on the back, hollering, turn loose. And she was crying and weeping, didn't know what to do. And so finally, I run interference, and Donald waded through there and laid a Bible out and led her to Christ. Now that's the way you do it. You base it on what God said, because opinions are like heads. Everybody done got one. Will you bow your heads? I'm done. I appreciate your attention tonight. I hope you've got something out of it. We're going to have an invitation here just in a minute. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you need to come to the altar for any reason, you come. If you need to do business with God, you do business with Him, all right? If you've never been saved, you come. Tell somebody, hey, I need to get saved. Lead me to Christ, all right? Father, thank you again for this time, for the good attendance. I thank you for the good Holy Spirit that's moved here tonight. I pray now you'll continue to move in this invitation. I ask you to save the lost, reclaim those that are contrary. Lord, have your way. Whatever you do, more than anything else, glorify Jesus Christ. I ask it in His name. Amen. Will you stand?
Thank God for these that have saved and they've come tonight. They're praying and they're making some new and fresh commitments to the Lord and getting their feet strengthened where they're at and the direction they're going. Stronger commitments, that's what the altar is for. It's a time of decision. And I like it that God's people still respond. Invitation time. If you're here tonight and there's never been a time in your life when you passed from death into life, you've not become that new creature, then we're inviting you to come. Inviting you to come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 1:18, the Word of God says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." It's serious. If you've never been saved, John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You're already condemned. It's not manifest yet. The rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. And it dawns on you. You died wrong. You died in your sins, without hope, without God. But Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And you don't have to die in that condition. You can live. Instead of being condemned, you can be justified. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How can you go